The book of Numbers, chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. And in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. The prophecy of Joel. Prophecy of Joel, chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now the first epistle to the Thessalonians, the first epistle of Paul, and possibly the first New Testament writing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The main theme of the writings to the Thessalonians is the coming of the Lord. And particularly in this first epistle, we get the revelation of a secret. Chapter 4, reading from verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now we'll turn back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 25 of Leviticus, to see the effect of the last trumpet. The effect of the last trumpet. Leviticus chapter 25. And I doubt not that this was the most joyful trumpet ever heard upon the earth. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, or the vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. Now we seek to gather these scriptures together and for a little while consider the use of the trumpets in Israel. They were used for a practical purpose, for many purposes, as we have read in the book of Numbers chapter 10. They're used by the Holy Spirit to set forth the prophetic purposes of God. And thus we've read scriptures that speak of a twofold use: practical in the assembling of Israel, and prophetic of the purposes of God. And as we trace the use of them, we shall see it's only those whose ears have been opened to hear and know and understand the meaning of the trumpets that will enter into the knowledge of the purposes of God. For there were two kinds of trumpets that were used in Israel. The first trumpet we find in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus. That was a trumpet made of a ram's horn or the shofar. It had a harsh, discordant sound. But the trumpets that we've read together in Numbers chapter 9 were silver trumpets, altogether in contrast to the harsh, discordant note of the ram's horn. The trumpets gave a clear sound that was joyful to the ear, the silver trumpets. As we consider the use of these trumpets, first of all notice the ram's horn. In the 20th chapter of Exodus, Moses is in the mount with God, and the mount is encircled with the fire and the thunder and the righteousness of God. For the law was being given, the law of God that revealed the righteousness of God and had a righteous demand upon the sons of men. In the days in which we live, the God of righteousness is not being preached as he should be preached. The fear of God is not entering into the souls of men as it ought to enter. But on this day we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 12, when the trumpet sounded long, when the people heard the noise of the trumpets, and they saw Mount Sinai, and they heard the voice of God declaring the righteous demands of God. And it's only God has a right to declare and demand from his creatures how they should live. The God that made us, the God that created us, has his own right that he should expect his creatures, to whom he's given life, breath, and all things, how they should live, how they should honor God. He has given us everything needful to produce righteousness. He has given us a spirit capable of knowing and understanding God. There's not a living man, whatever his creed or color may be, but has not God within him his own particular spirit that makes it possible for him to know and understand God. And God has revealed himself in his fullness, in his word. And the first revelation to the soul of God is to know that God is the God of righteousness. That's where we commence with God. Because it puts God in that light. And it puts us in the light of God's presence and reveals what we are before God. Let me ask you tonight, do you know the God of righteousness? Have you heard the trumpet sounding, the demands of God? If we go back to Sinai, who is there that would stand before God? Not even a Moses. Not even a Paul. Not one, not even a Job, could stand in the presence of God. There's only one that could keep and magnify the law, and that was the Son of his love, our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have the demands. I ask you, dear fellow believer, has the fear of God entered into your soul? Has there been conviction wrought that you knew that you were a sinner in the sight of God, and God could justly cut you down? For the word of God says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the words of the law to keep the law. So then we'll shut up to the grace and mercy of God. If that note of the trumpet has caused the fear of God to enter into our souls, much of the preaching today would never stir a soul would never awaken a soul, because the truth of God's righteousness and the demands of the law has not been preached. Oh, when we turn to the silver trumpets, oh, here we haven't got a harsh note. Here we haven't got a demanding note. Here we've got trumpets made of a different substance. Here we've got trumpets that give a joyful sound, because the sound of these trumpets speak of sacrifice. The very material of which they are made was the very foundation of God's dealings with Israel, for they were made of silver. And everything that pertained to the house of God, be it silver or gold, be it wood or color, whatever it was, had a divine meaning, and the very foundations of that house of God were built upon silver sockets. The house of God is founded upon the silver that is the figure of redemption. God obtained that silver from his people. Every man had to give a half shekel of silver, the value of his soul, the value of the king, the value of the beggar, the value of the man of ignorance, the value of the man of knowledge. Let us not think, any one of us, that we are better than another. Let us not think that one that has been brought up in king's palaces, in the sight of God, has any greater claim upon God than the man. Everyone was valued by the half shekel. All souls before God are equal. And that half shekel that provided the silver, for the sockets upon which that was built, by which came the trumpets. And so you see, they speak of this. God said, make two trumpets. Throughout the word of God, the figure two is the number of testimonies. There's only one gospel. I don't care whether it was preached in the time of Adam. I don't care whether it's been preached in the time of the great tribulation, brethren. I don't care what asset you may call it, a kingdom, face. You may call it by the different. How did Adam get saved? Through the sound of the silver trumpet. And if you didn't get saved with hearing that silver trumpet, then you don't know the value of redemption. Two trumpets, one note. It's most important in the casting of instruments that they give the same tone. I was in Brisbane when they unloaded from the old country the bells for the present city hall. When they make bells, whether they make trumpets, whether they make instruments, the most important part about them is tone. Tone. Two trumpets. One tone, one gospel breath, one gospel. And it was a priestly work to sound them. Oh yes, it was the priest that were to sound them. Don't say another priest. And God saved us, he ordained every one of us as a priest unto God. And we are responsible in fellowship with God to sound the silver trumpet. You notice in Numbers 10, the different uses of the trumpets. If you enumerate them, you'll find there are 7 or 8 different purposes for which the trumpets were made. Suppose we take the one that speaks of their sacrifices, as we read in verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. Ah, think of this. When the offerer brought his burnt offering, when he brought his peace sacrifice, ere that was offered unto God, the trumpet sounded. And when we consider the morning sacrifice, or the smoke of the ascending evening sacrifice, when we think of their feastly days and the multitudes of sacrifice, what a joyful note, the continual sounding of the silver trumpets. What a harmony there must be, rises to heaven, when God's ear hears his servant sounding the silver trumpets. Brethren, do we witness for God in the open street? Do we use our voice to sound forth the proclamation of the gospel for a memorial, For as those trumpets pointed on to the great sacrifice, every gospel preacher, as he sounds the trumpet of the gospel, points back to a memorial of the greater sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was to be on their feastly days. In fact, one day of the seventh feast was called the Feast of Trumpets, when all of them together were assembled for a special occasion. But you notice as we read this, if the trumpets were sounded for the proclamation of the sacrifices, the trumpets were used to gather the people together. And there never was a day when we needed more to hear the trumpet sounding, for there's an indifference creeping in amongst the people of God. Indifference to the attending of the meetings. The ears are becoming dull. They are not hearing the trumpet calling them to gather together. You notice that there was a gathering center. You notice there was only one place to where they could gather. They were to gather together to the door. Verse 2 says, "Ye shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." There was one gathering center. It was one thing to have a sacrifice to be joyful over. Oh, brethren, is there joy in gathering together unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, what a joyful trumpet to know. Not gathered to men, not gathered to doctrine. No, brethren, not one doctrine. We're not going to enumerate one doctrine above the other. Be it baptism, the Lord's Supper, be it the coming of the Lord, we don't gather to a doctrine but a person. And if we gather to a person, it includes all the doctrine. We don't want to be stigmatized or branded as peculiarly adopting only one certain doctrine. We want the whole counsel of God. We want to be balanced in every truth in Scripture. We want to be gathered unto the name and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, the same trumpet that sounded sacrifice, pointing to the redemption in Christ Jesus, is the same trumpet that would gather every believer unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And gathered together unto his name, assembled as an assembly of God. One object in view is testimony in the midst of a Christ-rejecting world. And so we read of them in the midst of the enemy's country. Most interesting to read verse 9. "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. No man goeth a warfare at his own charges. The Lord that sends us is the Lord that will save us, is the Lord that will go with us." How wonderful to think that that trumpet not only wrought fear in the hearts of the enemy, but it penetrated the heavens that the God of heaven would have to honor his promise. You think of the first time it was used with Israel. If the ram's horn was sounded before Sinai in the giving of the law, the first use of the silver trumpets was at the fall of Jericho. And Jericho was a fortress. Jericho was an almost impregnable city. And it required the power of God and the trumpet of God. There was no warfare. God said, "Circle the city 7 times. And on the 7th day when you circle it," he says, "shout, sound the trumpet." You can go to Jericho today. You can see the very walls that fell flat, as the Lord said, because they sounded the trumpet and God saved his people and the Lord wrought a victory. It's nice to see the order. But we read here of the divine order. We read in Numbers 10 of them coming together. It tells us that if they blow, verse 4, with one trumpet, then the princes which are the heads of the thousand shall gather. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time in the camp supply in the south, there was divine order. If we see Israel gathered to a divine center, orientated every man in his place, every tribe with the tabernacle in the center, that was when they were stationary. But they were a pilgrim people. And whether it was stationary or whether in movement, there was divine order. For instance, if you saw the host of Israel as they came to the crossing of the Jordan, how wonderful to notice who was in the van, who was in the rear, and what was in the center. The center of the whole concourse were the priests that carried the holy vessels, and the central vessel of the camp on the move was the ark on the shoulders of the priests, covered with a robe of blue. The divine center. Each tribe in its order. The Levites, the priests, each one serving, carrying divine order. We need divine order. There are things that God has left for us to arrange, but there are things that we have to leave entirely to divine order. And especially when we assemble in the Lord's Supper. Oh, brethren, let us be careful. We don't put our hand to the ark and make rules and regulations about the Lord's Supper. Perhaps the very testimony of the assembly. Let us arrange what we have to arrange, but leave divine order to be displayed. And that will mean, sister, you'll be wearing your hat. That will mean, brother, you will have your hat on as a recognition. You'll have your hat off as a recognition of the headship of Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will reveal that divine order, waiting upon God, that will produce worship in the heart and a display. We need to sound the trumpet then. Not only in the gospel, not only to gather together, but to sound the trumpet for the Lord's people to be gathered in divine order. It's beautiful to see the use of the trumpet in association with other vessels. Suppose we take the time of war. Suppose we take for illustration the time when the Lord raised up a Gideon to fight the battles of the Lord. And you remember the choice 300 of all the 10,000 that first gave themselves to fight the Lord's battle. You remember how the Lord eventually reduced them to the faithful 300. You remember how Gideon set them in companies. And what did they associate with? They associated with the sword, the vessel, the light, and the trumpet. Now I believe this is referred to by the Apostle. By the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In regard to the light, I think it's the light of salvation that is put in the earthen vessel. The light of salvation in the soul. And my body, the earthen vessel. Remember, our body is called a vessel. Daniel 7 teaches us that. So when we say the light is put in the earthen vessel, what do we read? When Gideon armed the companies, when he set them in order, before they attacked their enemy, brethren, before they sounded the trumpets, what did they do? They had to break the vessel to let the light shine. Oh, it's no use shouting, proclaiming with the trumpet, unless the light is shining. And it's no use trying to let the light shine unless the vessel's broken. To serve the Lord, our wills have got to be broken. Our bodies have got to be yielded. Everything must be placed upon the altar. The Lord graciously demands from every believer, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. The vessel to be broken. The light to shine before the trumpet sounds. Now look. when they broke the pitcher, when the light shone, then they sounded the trumpets. And brethren, they never had a sword in their hands. They had no carnal weapon. Though they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon." You can search that scripture. They had no material sword. For the trumpet and the shout and the answer of God, it was God that brought the victory without a carnal weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so, brethren, let us not sound the trumpet unless the light is shining. If your light has gone out, then stop using the trumpet. You have no right to preach the gospel unless your life and testimony is pure before the Lord. Remember this, we have no right to serve Him. We have no right to take responsibility to lead and guide the saints unless we've got a good report from those that are without. It only brings reproach upon the name of the Lord if we sound the trumpets and we haven't broken the vessel. The light isn't shining. There's another association of the trumpets in the time of Nehemiah. I believe in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah that we have days that foretell the days in which we live. When there's a recovery in measure and going back to early truth. And they were, having built the house of the Lord, they were building the walls, seeking to fortify the testimony, to preserve the testimony. Now notice how they were to build. Notice that the service and testimony for God is twofold. All some brethren know is how to use the sword. Oh yes, they had swords. But they had the trowel. They had the sword and they had the trowel. And brethren, the trowel was to build the wall to preserve the truth. And the sword was to defend the truth against the Lord's enemies. And alongside them was the trumpeter. Because the enemy was watching the building of the wall. And he was looking for the weakest point. And wherever there's a weak point in the building, then the trumpeter was to sound to reinforce the weak points. There are places. There are testaments that are becoming weak, that need reinforcing. Oh yes, the trumpet is sounding in many places. There are little gatherings here and there that need help. My brother, to serve the Lord, whether in the gospel, whether in seeking to build up and strengthen the people of God, the trumpet is sounding. There's a need, a growing need. I can't fulfill all the service I would love to fulfill because of the need. Young man, there's a trumpet for you to sound. There's a gospel to be proclaimed. There's a people of God that are in weakness needing help. Oh, to think in these days of darkness, what an opportunity for our young men and our young women to hear the trumpet that calls them to serve the Lord, whether in the gospel or whether in building up and strengthening the things that remain. The use of a trumpet in prophecy. Now it's nice to see divine order. It's nice to see the purposes of God taking place according to divine order. Now we've read the use of three prophetic trumpets. Three of them. Suppose we look at the first one, which I believe is the first in divine order. I believe the next trumpet that will sound is the trumpet that will gather all the host of the redeemed unto the Lord to the air. For that was a revelation specially given unto the apostles. This trumpet was a revelation of divine secrets. This is a trumpet that will be heard by every redeemed soul. That's why we believe it's a silver trumpet. Oh, I ask you tonight, have you heard the silver trumpet of redemption? If so, you're tuned in for the awaiting of the sound of that trumpet that will gather every soul. Oh, we don't think it is possible. In that day when that trumpet sounds, for any soul to be unable to answer, having within them that which has been placed there, the life of God, having within them that which was given them when they were sealed, the very person of the Spirit of God Himself, and by virtue of the indwelling Spirit, whether alive or whether having fallen asleep, the dead will hear that trumpet, the dead in Christ, and every living believer, and they'll gather. Oh, this is the day when all the saints of God will gather to the person. That's the day when everyone will gather to that divine center, when that trumpet sounds. Now look, we believe that when that trumpet sounds to gather the saints, to take them home to be with the Lord, that the same trumpet that's a note of joy, that's a note of attraction, that's a note of gathering, the same trumpet has an effect upon the earth. Therefore we read the prophetic trumpet in the prophecy of Joel. For that day that gathers the saints of the Lord home is the day that is the day of the Lord of earthly judgment. Said the prophet, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord cometh, the day of darkness, the day of judgment. We say the day of God's vengeance upon the Christ rejecter. And neither you nor I know how soon it will be before that trumpet will sound. Oh, the world is living in a fool's paradise. The world is enjoying present things and leaving God out. When that trumpet sounds, it'll take the saints away. How will it mean for everyone that's a Christ rejecter? Now mark, I said a Christ rejecter, and I mean a Christ rejecter. For that judgment of the day of the Lord is for a Christ rejecting world. Read the language of Joel. Read the day of the Lord. Read the day of darkness. Read the instruments God will raise up mighty nations for His vengeance upon the earth, culminating in the day when the Lord Jesus will come back in power and glory to set up His kingdom upon the earth. Over the last trumpet, the outcome, shall we say the very purpose of God, the last and final purpose for God is the earth. The earth. The earth is going to, as the desert, blossom like a rose. It is. I believe the earth that has received the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have the curse removed. And I believe the earth is going to be the display of the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what wonderful language. When we read of the year of Jubilee, oh, what does it mean to the captive? What does it mean to the one in toil and labor? What does it mean to the one that has lost his inheritance? It was the God of righteousness that ordained a year whereby every 50 years, as the 49th year passed, every man was to be restored to his inheritance. Every man was to have rest from his labors. There was to be no harvesting. Every captive was to be released. Now these three things will characterize the coming of the Lord and its effect upon the earth. Every man will have his own inheritance restored. Instead of man preying upon man, instead of theft and robbery and deceit and the worship of the god of mammon, then the Lord that rules with a rod will see that every man has his own inheritance. Every man sits under his own vine and under his own fig tree. And the true feast of tabernacles will be kept then upon the earth, as in figure it was kept in the days of Israel.
And what will that jubilee mean to the captive?
What will it mean to those that are in bondage? It'll mean happy release.
And what will it mean to a warring earth?
The swords will be beaten into plowshares.
They were to leave that year entirely. The land was to have its most important Sabbath.
Of course, every 7 years the land was supposed to have a Sabbath. But the 50th year was a Sabbath of Sabbaths.
And that year, there was to be perfect rest in the land.
Oh, you can imagine the captive. You can imagine the oppressed. You can imagine the laboring one.
And he knows the year of Jubilee is coming near.
And his ears are tuned to hear that Jubilee trumpet.
Jubilee. Jubilant.
Joy is the keynote of that last blessed trumpet.
And it will be to glorify the God of righteousness.
And glorify the God of redemption.
And glorify his Son that's made it possible for God to reveal his purposes.
Whether it's the God of righteousness, or the God of grace,
the God of power, and the God of blessing.
So you see, the trumpets reveal God's purpose practically for his people.
And God's purpose is prophetically for us to know and understand.
Let us ask ourselves again, have we heard the ram's horn? Have we heard the righteousness of God proclaimed?
Have we heard the silver trumpets?
Is there the joy of it in our souls? Then if so,
we'll continue to sound the trumpets.
And we'll anticipate and wait for
when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more.